Saturday, Saturday.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to live for it. Saturday, Saturday.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wing of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. What she drinks and I ride, why to sleep out the mind. We're shaving.
Daydream Believer, a song composed by the American songwriter John Stewart right before he left the Kingston Trio. Originally, the Monkees recorded it with Davy Jones as the lead singer, and it reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 in December of 1967, remaining there for 4 weeks and peaked at number five in the U.K. singles chart. It was the Monkees' third and last number one hit in the U.S. John Stewart wrote Daydream Believers as the third in a trilogy of songs about suburban life, recalling, "I remember going to bed thinking, what a wasted day. All I've done is daydream. And from there, I wrote the whole song. I never thought it was one of my best songs, not at all. The song was turned down by We Five and Spanky and our gang. Shame on them." Cool song. Hatter, back to you.
Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show where we pretend. It's a Hatter Day Saturday, and I'm here with A.P. Taylor, man from Down Under, Wizard of Oz. How you doing, A.P.?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hatter. How are you?
I'm okay, getting ready. Got a good number of rights. And, of course, Deborah, she's... does all the heavy lifting in the back. Thank you, Deborah.
My pleasure.
So, yeah,
and
tonight...
Hatter,
yeah.
We have 440 who's joined us, too.
Steven.
Okay. Okay,
hello.
We'll be visiting our dreams, sharing our dreams. What does dreams mean to you? So everybody's writing. That was the prompt for this evening. We also have the collab between A.P. Taylor and myself. Deborah Lee gives us a picture. We write 12 lines, and she pieces them together to a poem. Sometimes they work better than others, but it's always fun. And, yeah, Steven, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. You hung over a little bit? Hey, I saw the fish. Is that a largemouth?
Oh, that was JCA that caught that. Yeah, that was a largie.
Oh. I just thought it was you. Okay. Yeah. Okay, like I said, we have dreams. And I don't know, AP, was it easy for you to write to?
Surprisingly easy, Hatter. I actually like this one. I don't know how you went, but I thought this was a pretty decent topic.
You know, it there's so many ways. There's so many angles I was tempted to write about and had to decide on one. So we'll figure that out. Steven, you got a hit and run?
Yeah, I can't hang out too long because we do have stuff we got to do tomorrow morning. Even though I'm on vacation, I have to get up tomorrow.
Got to work on your vacation. Yep, not the way it is. I was always more tired. Get back to work, get some rest. But you want to go ahead and post yours? And
I posted it, Hatter.
Need a sign? Okay.
Yeah, I brought a pre-write. It's a poem about not the man of my dreams, but the man of many characters from the book The Stand's Dreams. Another one of my Randall Flagg poems I brought. So I call this Low Self-Esteem is the Devil's Dream. And it's actually about one of the characters, Lloyd Henreid. I wrote about each character, and this is about Lloyd. Of pokerized country stores with black feather-ridden sandy locks upon telephone poles, to behind locked metal bars wiping diseased turnkey saliva from the side of stubbled face. Last man standing in foodless cell save sickly dead inmate calf or cot mattress flattened rat. Echoed songs of Ollie Oxenfree and crazy rabbits keep time with ashen boot heels. Sympathy for the devil lies in guessing names while have a nice day lapel pins wink. The grinning crow's digits bend against knuckles and scarlet blemish black stone turns the key. I pick you. Has anyone ever done that in your whole miserable life? Denim arm wrapped shoulder, citing cheeseburger bail and teamwork tales, has chills of death totter from vertebrae to pruning prostate. End poem.
Now, I didn't see The Stand. Could you elaborate a little bit on the meaning of some of it?
That was an actual line that Randall Flagg said to Lloyd, just to let you know just what kind of guy Randall is. It's actually a combination from the original miniseries back in the 90s and the remake of the series that they did in the 2020s, and also from the book itself. I kind of try to add imagery from all three into it. So there's just imagery from all three venues of it. Randall Flagg is basically the devil. Basically, that's what he is.
And The Stand is the Stephen King, right? AP, what do you think, Ben?
I thought it was really well written, Stephen. I think that it's hard to get that sort of sense of somebody who is such a deep and dark individual. And, last man standing in a foodless cell, so sickly did inmate calf or a cot mattress flattened rat gives you a pretty good sense of it, I think. There's this real sense of a person who owns a space, even though there's not much to own, and has a power of their own, great, negativity and violence, even though they're restrained behind bars. I mean, it's a really interesting person to write about, and a really interesting way that you've gone about approaching it. I quite like it.
Thank you, AP.
Yeah, I like that line too. Dead inmate calf or cot mattress flattened rat. Agreed. Deborah, do you have a comment?
Sure, yeah. For starters, I really like the title, Low Self-Esteem is the Devil's Dream. It's a perfect title for the, for Randall and for tonight's theme. But I like the metaphors in here, like echoed songs of Ali Oxenfree, and there was a couple digits bend against knuckles and scarlet blemished black stone turns the key. But then the cheeseburger bail and teamwork tales and of chills of death. I thought that, pruning prostrate. I thought that this came out fantastic. And I thought I was around for this one. I guess not. But I know that you like writing about Randall. You have more than one with him in it, don't you?
Yeah, I actually have a folder that says there's 22.
22.
Wow.
Oh, well, yeah, you do seem to like him just a little. But no, it's really awesome, Stephen.
Thanks, Deb.
Yeah, you're getting quite the Wizard of Words, Stephen. I mean, the Grinning Crows. The Grinning Crows. Great line. That's the introduction to that line that Deborah just read. And Randall's the cop. Is Randall the cop there?
Well, what happens is everybody in the world pretty much dies from a disease, and Lloyd was left locked up in the prison by himself, starving, and Randall comes and gets him out as long as Lloyd agreed to serve him.
Oh, okay. I'll start watching movies, I guess. Thank you, Stephen. Did you have a good birthday?
Yes, sir, I did. It was very relaxing, a lot of fun, good food.
Good, good. Hey, the All-Star game is on my birthday this year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Is it at Progressive Field this year?
I'm sorry?
I thought I heard that it was in Cleveland this year. Maybe that was last year. I don't know. I haven't been paying too much attention.
Yeah. I just lost it. Just lost it. Hold on. All right. Did Kay come in? Is she busy?
She's busy.
There you go. But head up. We do have somebody else joining us, though, who might be able to comment. And that is Rack is on the line. Hi, Rack.
How you doing, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, Rack.
Rack-a-tour.
Hey.
You want to let's go ahead. Rack, did you bring something? Did you bring a recording?
I believe. Rack.
Yes,
it should be there.
He did. So, now, before we do that, though, Hatter, did we want to give Stephen a few minutes to just plug what's going on his channel? Steve?
Absolutely.
Let's see. Our next show is Monday evening, The Mortuary of Shadows, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and it will be our monthly visit with Edgar Allan Poe, and we are looking at the short story, A Descent into the Maelstrom. We got quotes from that short story to write to you. Check them out. That's 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And Wednesday is the Poetic Inklings, 10 p.m. Eastern. And it's our monthly visit with the artist, Agnes Cecil. There it is. I had to click on it. got a lot of cool paintings from her again to write to.
And that's a slice of poetic life. Is that it?
Poetic life.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. You're cool.
Stephen, can you wait for the collab before you go?
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah. Racketeer, are you in a hurry?
In Jersey.
Are you in a hurry in New Jersey?
Not set.
In New Jersey.
Not set.
Well, we can either do the collab now, if you want.
Yeah, I,
well, that's
I
what
put
I was
up,
thinking.
Yeah, I put it up
okay.
so that Stephen could get in gear for tomorrow morning. And guys, other than the title, I just put in a couple words. It was already a 10 when I added them, just saying.
A 10?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
okay,
this is called
Animated Travel Brochures in Written Stanzas. And here we go. Roses are red, the poet said, and phone booths are now extinct near the Taj Mahal where the image is calmer. Cross-checking lines, holding the signs that read no parking from here to there as the domes of Orthodox churches met Lama. So I look blindly glancing behind me by the sunflowers in the dark. Is that you following me? As camels push two pyramids into liberty, holding holiday books on Hollywood looks, then the single geisha caught the London bus for tea. Zeppelins and dirigibles, summertime icicles, and postcards marked return to sender, now taxis with horns ready near the elegant tower. Towers with clocks, camels tick-tock, the moon ravages the dawn as painters gathered beneath bridges tower. Earthbound trains await the changes. Nothing happens too soon, for these scenes have been left well behind by spacemen deterrents with swim ocean currents. Tend to rip apart if only so close as in this one image confined. Hatters with hats, French-speaking cats trying to fry away on balloons and dirigibles. In all skies they hover. For double-deck rides with ducks inside, the lower their bridges toll. Neath the clouds, wishing, if gather not drawn, to bother. 20 past noon fed the lake loons, bathing dinosaur nests on Pisa's towering leaning. Toward the sand dune, starlit circling and waterfall feelings that mummies will always love you. From stone temples and forests carved below moon and palms.
Did you write balloons and dirigibles?
I wrote dirigibles, yes. Add up, we both wrote dirigibles.
we both
a common word and language, but
are you calling him a
hot
air?
I must be.
I said Zeppelin and dirigibles, you and balloons and dirigibles. Okay, cool.
Yep.
So do you think, what
yep.
do you think, Steven? It's a 10.
It's a 10, yes. Just like Bo Derek.
Where did that get us?
I thought this was great. And I thought, you know, that picture has so much going on in it, as they always do, but it seems like they're divided, and I think each stanza almost speaks to each of the divisions. And I don't know, maybe it's because it's Christmas in July over at Poetic Slice. It had me think of those, I can't remember what he called it, in Rudolph's Shiny New Year. I think it was the archipelago of last year, that series of islands. Yeah, that's what it made me think of, was kind of going in that direction. I thought this was really cool.
Yeah, I went, you know, cell by cell, those frames, and sort of tried to get the lines. I was stuck on that inner rhyme, as you could tell. Nice lines, AP.
I thought it went well. Great picture by Dad. Yeah.
These are always fun to write, and sometimes this one wasn't. I was satisfied with the lines I give. Usually I'm not. You know, I don't envy Deborah's job of piecing them together. But it seemed to work. Thank you. Thank you, Deb.
That keeps my brain busy. It's all good.
So, Raconteur, what do you think of our 10?
Yeah, wow. I mean, this is quite a melange of words. You know, not being able to see the picture, I'm missing a piece of it. But you know, you bring quite a lot of images into my brain. So, you know, you're painting your own picture there. And you know, I almost want to say the dirigible portion of it almost overshadows the previous word, because I almost didn't notice, you know, balloons and dirigibles and zeppelins and dirigibles, that it was a difference, because, you know, that word is just kind of dominant in a sense. I mean, in history, that word was just, I won't say iconic, but it was really it overshadowing, at least to me, you know, the idea of it, those air, what do they call them, air something.
Airships,
yeah. I mean, it was just an amazing concept. You know, it's funny, you know, it reminds me of a joke about a movie made about, you know, a sequel to the Titanic, where, you know, they take they take the blimp back to anyway. I'm completely brain on that movie. The poem was, you know, I really liked it. The cadence and the playfulness of it. I almost want to say it sounds like a form with part of the repeating words. You know, but definitely the cadence fits in, and I don't know about the rhyme scheme, but it felt like there was an even number of pro line. I know what I'm thinking. I can't brain. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Anyway, I enjoyed it very much, though. You know, it's hard to, you know, to do it. It's almost like, you know, having writing with the opposite hand to me. You know, when you have someone that you're collaborating with and you can't see what they're doing. Well done.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the AP and I will hit a theme, same kind of theme throughout the poem. This one sure did. You think, AP?
Yeah. Well, I was actually looking up the use of the word dirigible, Hatter, and I'm here to tell you that the recorded use of dirigible for the last 100 years is minimal. And its high peak was in the 1900s, the early 1900s. So for us to actually come up with that same word is some ridiculous sort of degree of unlikelihood.
Yeah. Well, it was the way to travel. It was going to be the future way to travel.
No, I know that.
Until the Zeppelin, you know.
I'm with you.
I have to tell you that I wasn't surprised that you both used the word. You both jumped on the tower as well. I thought there was one or two other things, but you always, without fail, grab enough things together to tie them in. But no, I do agree. It is an odd word. And in the grand scheme of this piece of art, for you to home in on that item with all the stuff on there is pretty remarkable. And Rack, for you, if you picture a board that's got everything from the Taj Mahal to the pyramids to the Statue of Liberty, and think of double-decker buses and all kinds of landmarks, and they're just thrown all over the page.
Yeah.
And they don't.
From what they wrote, you know.
They amaze me when they do these.
Well, what's nice, you know, when you have two people that, you know, are friends like that. You know, it's like the old married couple that finishes each other's sentences after a while. So, you know, even though they're different styles and whatnot, you know, the way that their brains work in the background is still very similar. So you can't fail to overlap a little bit. You know, you give them the same puzzle.
I would say I'm influenced by AP's writing through the years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have got an appreciation of what each other seeks out. Because we've been doing it for a while now, and so when I look at an image, I think, you know, I have a sort of image in my head about what Pat is seeing, and he probably does the same with me.
I think it's getting that way more and more. I can look at things, and I think the good one was Billy Joel. Was it the Billy Joel? And
yes.
I used the song through the song, but I used one line and we didn't share. I mean, we didn't have the same lines, but that was interesting.
Yeah.
Five o'clock on a Saturday. So.
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yep. From P10. Yep.
Anyway, Hatta, we should get Rack and his poem on the board since he has called in.
Sure.
So, are you happy for me to play Rack's SoundCloud?
If Rack is, you ready, Rack?
Ready!
Here we go. Okay, since we're all ready, here it comes, Rack's SoundCloud.
Dream of You by Raconteur. When you fall asleep, what will you dream? Castles and kings? Echoes on the wind of songs the forest sings? Fly over the sea, float on the breeze, careless and free. My love, may you dream of beautiful things till the dawn of the day, bright and new. After the story's been read, rest your weary head, safe and warm, snuggled in bed. Time seems to slow the further we go, as moonlight invades the room. When the journey ends, wake up and then dream it all over again. Wherever you go, I want you to know, when I dream of you. Darling, you make my dreams come true. End poem.
Very good. So I'll stalk you in my dreams. This is very, very pretty. Yeah. If you could have somebody dream of you all the time, I think they're in love, or you're in love, something like that. I remember. AP, what'd you think?
I really liked it. Now, I'm just going to put Wayne in the room because he's come in to join us at us. So we'll just say hello to Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
Hi.
Hey, Wayne.
Wayne. Hi.
Hi, Wayne to hell.
There you go. And I did want to say that I agree, Hatter. I thought that was beautifully written. I particularly like time seems to slow the further we go as moonlight invades the room. There's something quite elegant about that. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that stanza. And I like how you changed the last stanza when you read it, Rack. I noticed. You said, "Darling, you make my dreams come true," was the way you read it in the last stanza, and that actually is very sweet. So, pretty well done.
Very good. Is Stephen still with us, or did Stephen hang out?
No, Stephen disappeared. Stephen, come on.
Okay. Wayne, were you able to hear?
I kind of heard it. I didn't hear it really get up there, but trying to get over right now. I made a little comment to it, though. I said, I am living the dream. I think I've dreamed of everyone. Most of them didn't make it out alive. I live my dreams. Good job, Rick.
Make it out alive. Yeah. Deborah, want to comment?
Yeah, I thought it came out very romantic, and I have to admit, when you read it, different than the end, "You Make My Dreams Come True," all of Hall & Oates was in my head. So now it's going to be stuck there all night long, just saying. But I thought that each little stanza was like a whispered romance all the way through. And when the journey ends, wake up and then dream it all over again. The rhyme and flow is pretty fantastic as well. Great share.
I wrote that. It's a bedtime story.
Aw.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like that line. I have to jump all the way down. Boy.
Makes it even sweeter.
The time seems to slow the further we go. You know, but it is like a rubber band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If something happens and it breaks apart, it snaps back and all those years come rushing by.
Yeah. Great,
Heather. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well done.
All right.
Enjoyed.
Hannah, did you want to talk about your poem?
I guess we could. Put it up there.
Yeah. I've put it up there.
Okay, thank you. Oh, that's not it.
Are you happy to read this one, Hatter, or did you want somebody to read it for you?
No, I got it. I got my eyes on.
Okay.
It's called "Keep It in the Past." It goes like this. "I never feel so lonely than when I think of you, stuck inside a nightmare I never wished come true. Gray skies paint in colors that do not know the names, shouting words I've used before, pretending they're the same. Without a wall to lean against, my shadow cannot breathe. It brings those things that weighs me down when trying to be set free. I cannot turn the time around to keep it in the past, picturing the days gone by and the darkness that it casts. I walk along the frozen path expecting to find my way, but every step I take towards you makes me want to stay. My dreams I keep where you can't see, so I won't worry about the dawn. Don't look back or remember me, so I won't know that you're gone. I won't know you're gone."
There you go. There's a classic sort of perfect setup of a Hatter poem. Deb, did you want to say some words about this one?
Yeah, Hatter strikes again. Wow. Without a wall to lean against, my shadow cannot breathe. It brings those things that weighs me down when trying to be set free. What was the other one? I walk along the frozen path expecting to find my way, but every step I take towards you makes me want to stay. It's a heartbreaking, Hatter, but beautifully written heartbreak. And then the closing couplet, "Geesh, don't look back or remember me, so I won't know you are gone." Yeah. Very,
does that make
very
sense?
Very powerful emotion.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that
20.
Didn't make much sense.
No, very good. No, makes perfect sense. Oh, I'm going to go to Rack. This is sort of a poem out of the Rack volume. You there, Rack?
Tim, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I can now.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Like you said, the ending doesn't make perfect sense. But the thought that comes to my mind is how old does a dream have to be before it goes bad? Because, you know, so dreams turn bad, I guess, and I don't know, this kind of sounds sad, you know, in that regard, and when you chew and whatnot, that's
it's interesting.
Just, I don't know.
Correct?
Yeah, thank you, Rack.
And we should get Wayne to say a few words. Wayne, what do you think?
Yes, I said, what a sad, heartbreaking poem. There's not been a more emotional poem of lost love I've ever heard. I love the emotion in this. I'd go kick that girl's ass. I like to say my dreams I keep where you can't see, so don't worry about the dawn. I think that's a cool line there. You're great all the way through this. This is a wonderful poem. Love it there, Jay Hatman.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, it hits on when you're in a relationship and you're in love or whatever, you're very vulnerable.
That's true.
The emotions and feelings that you didn't know you had, and when they're stripped back away from you, it's not used to that either.
You can feel the emotions you had in this poem. You can feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Hatter,
I'm going to put mine up on the board next. Now, there is a backstory to this. There often is, yeah. And that is, for 10 years of my life, up until about 2-3 years ago, I did not dream. So my medical treatment was such that it kept me alive, but it didn't actually keep me well enough to dream. Then I shifted across to the overnight dialysis process, and on the machine I started dreaming again when I slept.
Really?
And it had been 10 years. Yeah, it had been 10 years since I dreamt.
Do you feel like you just didn't remember him? Did you just remember, or you just didn't feel you dreamed?
No, I just didn't dream. I didn't sleep deeply enough to dream.
But at least you didn't have no reruns. You didn't have any reruns anyway.
I didn't. It wasn't that I didn't remember them. I didn't actually dream. And so I went 10 years of my life without dreaming. And so now when I'm on the machine, I dream when I'm sleeping because it gets my blood cleaned up and gets actually stayed asleep. So there's something for me about dreaming.
How intense are your dreams now?
I just love dreaming, Hatter. There's something really funky about dreaming and something really... If you've gone 10 years without dreaming, you start dreaming again and they become very vivid. So all of that is background to this poem, which is since I started dreaming again about 3 years ago. This is a whisper near, Hatter. This is a whisper near, and it goes a little bit like this. Dreams dance a whisper near. They infuse a cloud with ink. Pondering a emu gathered, soon it raced towards skies pink. With the lightness of a feather on red sands bundle among, tumbleweeds, fences lather, wild lulls as years since strung. Rains are poised above a ridge, lightning angles are acute, rumbling to history's shatter when divine lips switch to lute. Waters pool beyond tidal searches, old man crocodile pretends a tree, flocks of birds left to natter, one soon will be his tea. Brolga on one leg peering through the mists of ocean cruel, their keening calls captured by whales who nearby pool. Waves they surge in foam lit above where creatures peer, nightfall to stars patter, dreams dance a whisper near. End poem.
Flock of birds left to natter, or is that supposed to be hatter? Jack, what do you think?
I love his use of language. Natter, that's elegant. I wouldn't have expected that to show up, but it felt like Lewis Carroll. Through the looking glass type experience, it was wonderful. And I can't imagine not having dreamt for 10 years like you said, you like to dream, when you're little, especially, and you start to hear stories about dreaming and whatnot, everyone inadvertently ends up talking about, do you dream in color or do you dream in, and then they start talking about, if you concentrate, you can control your dreams, and it turns into this contest between everyone trying to manipulate and influence what happens in your dreams. So I was just happy to remember what I dreamt, you know. But this is a lovely adventure. The whale and the tea. I love that reference because that flows for me, you know. Because it's two bodies of water, really. So one kind of naturally does lead into the other, even if they are not, you know, they don't exactly fit together. But and when I say fit together, I mean size wise, not thought wise, because they definitely absolutely fit thought wise. You know, it does. Again, pardon the pun, it does flow. But yeah, there's a lot of intricacy in this, and there was another word that you used too that was beautiful. And I'm not visualizing it for some reason, but I really, really appreciated the poem for that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I've got this visual of when you started dreaming again. They all come rushing back, you know? But was it intense? Or how about the first night you dreamed? Maybe in the morning.
It was quite vivid, Hatter, and it was just like an old friend, you know, that had sort of disappeared for a long time, and then they sort of appeared again, and I was as surprised as anybody else, you know, that they were back.
the man who didn't dream. Yeah. Wayne, you want to comment?
Yes, I would. I said, this poem is dreamlike. It floats along, painting a wonderful picture. I like the pose above the ridge. Lightning angles are acute. A little drop of mathematics thrown in, that was fun. This is a well-written poem, and it sets a cool mood all the way through it. You did a great job with this poem. I think it's great. And if you dream about me, it'll probably be a nightmare. So don't do that. Great job.
No. Thank you. Cheers.
Dream on, brother.
Thank you.
And AP's efforts to rule the world, he's going to monetize his dreams and he's selling commercial space. So companies line up.
And, never know.
It could have been a galactic. Could have been a galactic universal reason. Yeah. That was on that dream. But that's fascinating, AP. Did you ever share that with a doctor, and then have him tell him if they came back?
I only did it to him when it started. Only did it when it started again. I shared it with my renal specialist. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I remember through my addiction to morphine. The skin patches were the worst thing. I worked 24/7.
Oh, I cut.
Brain surgery, yeah. The REM sleep, the world that I could slip into was beautiful. And you got to remember that at that time my world was crashing down before my eyes. So I longed to be there. I wanted it all the time. So I basically was overdosing every day trying to get to that REM sleep. And I finally woke up and realized what I was doing, and told doctors and got clean.
There you go.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Now, Hatter, we probably should play. We're about midway through the show. We probably should play our piece from We're All Gonzo. Before we do that, though, I was just going to give a chance to comment before we move on.
How about Deborah? Deborah, did you need to read in? Are you time limited?
I read the collab, and there was a lot of poems on the board, so I didn't dig one out. But I did want to comment on AP.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. For one, if you look, it starts and ends with the same line. Dreams dance and whisper near, and I like that full circle feel that it brings, and it flows flawlessly like a dream state down the page, and I have to admit that, because you know how I do that sometimes, I read the last line backwards And I really liked The Last Stand of the Bacchus. Just
it
saying.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Near Whisper of Dance Dreams, Potter Stars to Nightfall. Oh, man.
He rolled over.
Yeah. A palindrome, right?
Yes.
No, not at all.
That's what it's called. No, I'm just saying that's what it's called.
Yes,
right?
yes. When it goes backwards.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, it's not. It just was a really so it just sort of tried to give that sense of being in this sort of happy, unexpected place. Hatter. That was the sort of sense of the poem. Just because
you're very good at that. You're very good at the image in my head anyway. The imaging of Monty Python. You know the quests and the Holy Grail.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know why, but a lot of images. I guess guys in freaking night suits.
The knights are saying me.
Coconuts.
Yes.
Sounding like horses.
Yes. It feels a little bit like me sometimes, Hatter, with all of my health issues. It's sort of like, you know, you're sitting there with, you know, one arm and no legs and still waving the sword and screaming at people. That feels like me, you know, most days of the week. But,
you know what I thought of the other day? Years ago, we talked about on the air the pineapple. Europeans had never seen anything like a pineapple, and they used to pay extraordinary amounts of money so they could display it on their table.
That's
they wouldn't eat it, right?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Look at this pineapple. Smell it. I mean, did they throw it around? Did they put it under glass? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
there you go. So, Hatter, we should put the Gonzo piece on now. And we're just checking to see if Wayne needs to go before we do the Gonzo piece, because Gonzo piece is you know, good 5 minutes. So, Wayne,
I'm not going to work.
Are you okay to stick with it?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be here this night. I'm here.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, that being the case, we will go to the... this is the finale of the Gonzo piece, but I think it's finale part one. Is that right, Deb? Because it's a two-part finale. So,
yes, it is. It is a two-part.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Part one.
Wait, hold on. I don't have it yet. Hold on. I'm looking right now. I have to go refresh. Because
I put it up and then Deb put it up.
No, I still have yours. I still have yours. Okay, there it is. Just popped up.
You got it?
Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Deb.
This is it. We're all Gonzo and drum roll almost for this as it comes up to the finale. Here we go.
The lush brush surrounded and confounded mirror who leered at Sleepy, pondering it loud for all to hear.
Why are we walking aimlessly through the woods looking for giant piles of
We're not walking aimlessly. We're tracking.
It came to her on a night after the fright of a nightmare. She suddenly felt very ill-prepared. The fear she carried added so much despair, she hoped it would disappear so she could persevere, but her chances were slim, as she was well aware.
And what happens when we find what we're tracking?
I don't know. Make some kind of deal.
It's gonna roast and eat you.
Maybe it will recognize me.
It recognizes you?
And then it roasts and eats you.
How about we just go back to the castle and ambush the queen? You can easily scale the brick walls.
I'm not going to that castle until I have an edge.
Your edge is gonna roast you and eat you.
Can you seriously stop repeating that? I don't need to hear it right now.
Dragon swooped towards the roasted riverside, carved out a nest in the stone between a mountain divide inside of the shined black glass bedding created from its size. Its size obscured by a quiet evergreen forest, Sleepy regretted not plying herself with alcohol until her fear would subside as the moment did warrant.
Okay. So what now?
Exactly. What now?
I'll try to, maybe if, okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Oh, you idiot.
Sleepy step behind, cover over barren empty tundra laid waste, coated with its slick ebony case that had replaced the glass, the rock, the dirt, making steel a light dessert. The giant-scaled gargantuan made Sleepy feel more human, but she knew a misstep would cause the wrong death and her plans would come to ruin.
Okay, I'll stay calm, and I'll stay calm, and... Hey there, beautiful. Remember me? I'm the one that set you free. Please don't eat me. Why the hell did I say that?
Springing to life and beginning to stalk, singing like a bird, Sleepy began to talk.
Oh my god, it's gonna roast and eat me. I came this on you because I feel responsible for what they did to you. I'm the one who you were guarding in that tower. They kind of put me under a spell where I slept for 5 years so they could stand around and laugh at my suffering. Usual evil stepmother type stuff. But I was just wondering if you could come back with me and, you know, burn it all to nothing. I'm starting to wonder why I thought you'd understand me.
As catapults and trebuchets soared to breed in every way, the dragon's combative siege against the queen's massive castle was well underway. It sprayed ablaze, turning all ash and gray. A bouquet of death so adept it made stone a melted souffle. No match for the flying monster, most soldiers didn't even bother to mount any sense of offense or defense, leaving trails betraying their honor.
What's wrong with you? She's gonna kill us all!
Exactly.
The dragon's fire was concentrated, however the lack of planning was demonstrated by striking the base of the tower basement, leaving foundations devastated. The floor began to split between Sleepy and Charming, harming the integrity of the structures, parting the room in half while fire continued bombarding. The gap increased with each second, separating Sleepy from her newfound objective.
Once again, you have terrible luck.
Charming departed by darting out of the archway into the hall, while a hail of rubble and rock began to fall, causing the crease to increase by 10 or more feet as Sleepy leapt across the concave concrete, coming close before falling to the floor below. She landed hard on her toes and rolled with adrenaline, blunting the brunt of the blow, running into the hall to see a riot of commotion with mercenaries and soldiers questioning their devotion. Even after spotting Sleepy, they seemed not to care, as if death itself was floating in the air. As Molten Inferno breached the open window, Sleepy barely dove, while the mercenaries were too slow.
Hey, this way. I'll get you out.
Hold up. Why the hell should I trust you? You knew that son of a bitch was alive this whole time and said nothing.
I told you I just wanted to see the look on your face.
Sleepy ignored the mayor's queer remark as she headed across the dark, charred floors, heading towards an adjacent door.
Oh, okay, listen. I didn't want to be the one to break your heart. Chop, chop, single file, let's get the show on the road.
She dashed down, directed by her shining companion, before the dragon struck again with reckless abandon. A rose-red tornado turning each step to Play-Doh, soldiers caught in their flight, turning riper than tomatoes. Tucking onto the third floor, Sleepy tried to ignore the near makeshift volcano that continued to pour more molten stone across her path, cornering her between a river of death and a wall of glass.
Okay, what have you got? What's your plan now?
Thinking.
Oh god, is that bad?
No. No, I have an idea. Jump out the window.
What?
Jump out the window, aim for the stables, back for vacation in Pompeii.
Okay, let's do this. I'm ready.
Gripping her two hands on the edge of the frame, she launched through the window. The room left aflame. The fall was untamed and almost too rough to take. Especially since the stable roof decided to break.
Sleepy, wake up. Wake up. Aurora, wake up.
That's just too good. The whole production of it. It reminds me of the remember the Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Cartoons. It was always narrated by a dude that's got the same kind of cadence. I think that's great. Anybody want to comment on this? How about you, Rock?
I mean, you know, there's really not much you could say. Like you said, the production value is amazing. You know, there's a lot of intricate things that he does in this. In particular, you know, you mentioned the narrator. It almost hides the poetry in it because of the production value, I think. Because he's got a ton of words in there referring to how the flame is so hot that it melts the stone. He's got it turn into Play-Doh at one point. He's got it turn into puddles. The things that he's done to the and he says it lyrically and poetically rather. So you know, it kind of gets hidden within you know the pomp and circumstance of everything almost. But I mean, it's still beautifully done. You know, it's hard to deny. You know, I guess it's kind of a trade-off at one point. You know, if you're going to do it one way, it's beautiful in one sense, but, you know, to me, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm wrong because, you know, I picked it out, so it's not that I'm a genius. So I guess other people will see it too, so ignore me.
No, the poetry throughout his narrative is wonderfully done. It's long line rhyme, and then he bunches them up. I'm trying to find the part he used a lot of rhyming words in a row, and then broke out of it, and then got to an inline rhyme, and then repeated that. Trying to find it. I wish I could have marked it. These are so entertaining. The program he's got. You know what? And Sleepy sounded like Sky. Isn't it? AP, you want to comment? Gonzo.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the humor towards the end. The River of Death and the Wall of Glass, and Sleepy turns to the mirror and says, "What do you got?" Plan, and the mirror's thinking, and she goes, "God, it's that bad." It's really kind of funky. Humor is so difficult. It really is. And there's such subtle humor and use of language through humor in this piece all the way through. And I just love the little interludes. And I particularly appreciate when that's dialogue because that's even harder. So, yeah, really well done.
This stanza here, she dashed down directed by her shining companion before the dragon struck again in a reckless abandon, a rose-red tornado turning each step to Play-Doh. Soldiers caught during their fight turned to tomatoes. Yeah, Wayne, you want to comment? Gonzo.
Yes, I said, what? Please don't eat me. Man, that's being polite. Hope she said thank you, too. Now, this is a wonderful movie. I enjoyed it all the way through, and hope Sleepy woke up at the end of it. Didn't think she did or not. Hope she woke up. And I wonder where you'll store all the awards for this great write. Yeah. It was a wonderful write. They did a great job with it, and I like the production. Good job.
So Deborah, you loaded these. About how long from start to finish, if you were to put them all together in sequence, about how much time recording do you think it is?
Believe it or not, I'm fairly confident that it comes in under an hour. And if you, they average 5 minutes, but I do happen to know that the final piece is like 9. So if you take the 10, it's 59. So give or take, it's an hour. And then after we hear the next part, one of the nights we don't have a show on the schedule, I'm going to play the back-to-back episodes so they're all in one spot.
That would be cool. I think that they're all about the same length. They're pretty lengthy, which is a good thing. It keeps your attention throughout. Except I think there was one that was like I thought was a little shorter. But,
Well, like I said, they average the 5, and then the last one's 9-ish. So just
they average 5. Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Okay. 5-ish plus 9. So, yeah.
Well, it sure didn't seem
cool.
You know, the storyline was well done, Gonzo. Well done.
You remember the
some of the sound effects in there a few times in his wording. It took me to the Borg for some reason. I always get such a kick out of the different voices and tones that he puts in for inflection. It's really, really brilliant.
Because this is such a creativeness and well use of the program.
You remember the video game Dragon Quest?
Yes.
The what? Dragon Quest?
That's what I saw the picture. And going with that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and the mirror, and the mirror is a good image.
Yeah.
And sleepy. Charming. See, just giving him the name, so it's a good story ability to tell a story. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Well,
thank you again.
To do his piece next.
I could probably read that. I wrote it today.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I wrote it today, and after I wrote it today, I thought somebody was talking about dreams the other day, and I couldn't figure out who it was, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. Yeah, she said this show was about dreams, and I wrote it for another contest day, but it's a pretty cool little poem, I reckon. Where is it at? You put it on the board, or you going to put it on the board?
Yeah, I'll put it on the board.
Okay, let me go get it here. Right here.
You got it, one?
No, I can't. It's gone. Where is it?
I got it. Yeah, I see.
You got it today. It's
actually a few minutes ago now, so it's about 8 minutes ago, but it is up on the board.
Okay. This is called Afternoon Napping. It goes like this. Peach-bound hair, napping in the breeze. Lemons jumping from trees, asking for a squeeze. Waiting for a chance to get off this cloud. Then no pounding the beach was allowed. Children in waves, left or back again. Red would leave, I was flying in a train. Some little stars raced across the Tasso sky. Seems so normal, didn't last while. Isn't it like you can't believe they already passed? Give me this hammock, time goes by fast. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Now, this isn't a word bank, right? No word bank.
I just got a summer nap. A summer dream.
Cool. Is that hammock Wayne in the picture?
I wish I was laying there right now. It'd be nice. No, that's not me. I'm probably 3 or 4 years older than that guy.
Rack, what do you think? What do you think?
I enjoy Wayne's storytelling. You definitely have the feel of napping rather than the full on sleeping in this piece. There's a definite difference in how it comes about and the setting. It felt different. It felt like a nap. So that was really well done. The language that you chose and the way that you expressed it. The sandy hair gave it almost a beach type feel that you were napping on. So you know. I don't know about a hammock, but the rest of it was just it was very light and casual and sleepy and dreamy.
That's it.
So I appreciate it that way.
I spent most of my day in a dream. Thank God this ain't reality.
AP, what do you think?
Oh yeah, look, I agree with Rack actually. I think it just has that sort of really light sense. Of just sort of drifting away rather than that deep sort of sleep. It's sort of quite different, and I think you sort of set up as you went through there, Wayne. I thought it was sort of really neat.
I think that's one of the downfalls and the dark side of the technology that's running. Everybody's got a phone, everybody's texting, everybody's communication with everybody else at the same time, all the time. They're missing the time by yourself that you reflect and you figure out. That's when you figure things out in life. That's where you can find peace, if you just stay on that fast technical wave, I think you'd miss it. Would you agree, Deb?
I wrote, Wayne, this is a really cool brevity and kind of makes me wish I was napping in a hammock right now. And I like the colors you chose to paint the scene. It was a fun share. And that blonde seems to be in your dreams often.
Yeah, I like the lemons jumping from trees, asking for a squeeze. Lemons. That's a Steve Miller. Peaches. Peaches. What is it? What does he say? Squeeze your peaches.
Really want to squeeze
your trees. Abracadabra.
Hatter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to tell you there's 4 more poems on the board, and I wondered if you discussed what next week's topic might be.
Well, I had dreams.
Ah.
This is a BAP.
It's my turn, Det. It's my turn. And see, I was going to go for a particular word that was, you know, related to dreams, but then I listened to the words and the lyrics of our opening, you know, Daydream Believer. And I want to go with White Night.
White Night.
White Night. Yeah, White Night. K-N-I-G-H-T. White Night. Because that's one of the lines of Daydream Believer.
You know, and there's a very good, very, very good chance, and I could look it up, but I believe the music was played by the Wrecking Crew.
No, I bet you're right.
They did the recordings, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're right. But yeah, no, White Night is the theme for next week.
It'd be hard to make a White Night and hit Bad
Guy. All right, the White Night.
The White Knight.
The Billy Green.
Okay,
let's get on to these poems. Do we have a recording? Can we do a recording?
We do.
A 3 recordings and an AP poem, I believe.
Okay.
So we'll
work
that out as we go. Let's do a couple of recordings, Hatter, and then we'll work it out. Yeah?
No,
so,
sounds good.
Maybe we do Pretty Bird next. So let's put Pretty Bird up on the board, and then I will play the piece. Here we go. It's up on the board now, and this is Pretty Bird SoundCloud.
Nebula,
hold on.
And Dusty Daydream by Pretty Bird. Maybe it's just gas, the bloated remains of something my body rejected. Fractured gag reflex swallows shadows like water drowning a fish. I can't stop tasting you in the dreams I can't remember. My pillow's wet and my heart empty. I can't breathe through the smoke from when you pissed out the campfire. Anaphylaxis, my reward for communing with nature. Sharing a moon I can no longer face. Orienteering assumes I can navigate when I can't find my car in a parking lot. I can't stop tasting you in the dreams I can't remember. Maybe it's just gas.
Oh. Wayne, you want to comment?
Well, I'm more speechless. I said, well, maybe it is gas. I said, maybe it is gas. That's how I wrote the part. I kind of got, captivated me with that, but I didn't know what was coming. And very good point. Very much to think about this poem. She's worried about that. She beat the man or hates the man. That's kind of a pretty good little poem here. I enjoyed it. I want to look it over a little more.
It's witty. Black tear.
Yeah, I love the way she writes. You know, that thought maybe it's just gas kind of overtook everything else for me because. To me, there's a lot of subtleties in this. The idea of sharing a moon and not being able to do that anymore, and you know, kind of losing someone. It's a memory, but it's a fleeting one. I think I'm getting, it's a dream that she can't hang on to anymore. And you know, she does things like this. I mean, she drives me nuts. Yeah, I thought it was beautiful.
Brilliant. Thank you. AP?
Yeah, I like the use of taste and of breath and just she you know, you write about things that sort of happen normally and the other senses tend to get left behind, but Pretty Bird just really uses all the senses. She gags, she tastes, she breathes, she does everything she possibly can to actually make you interact with the poem and draw you in. And that's why she's such a good writer.
Good, thank you. And Deborah?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was writing. The one stanza, well, the whole poem, but this one stanza, I can't stop tasting you in the dreams I can't remember, but my pillow is wet and my heart empty. That is like a wallop right there. And all the way through, towards the end, I can't stop tasting you in the dreams I can't remember. And then she twists it with maybe it's just gas, and totally unexpected. And I'm like, wait, did she just say that? I thought this came out brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But she always does.
Yeah. It's very witty. did they get everybody?
It's a witty bird.
Right? Yep, you did.
Wayne?
Man, okay, cool. What? Yeah, Wayne.
I was ready while ago. I can't stop tasting you in the dream. In the dreams, I can't remember. I think it's a profound statement. It's a little over my head, but it's profound. I get nervous when I can't find my car in the parking lot. This poem has a lot of things just kind of reach out and grab you all of a sudden. I think it's a great job if you do this. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm totally very good. Okay, my internet went down. My service went down or something because I can't do the thing.
Okay.
So
well, let me
carry on, AP.
I will. I'll take over. I've just got a couple of poems up on the board that we have as SoundClouds. The one is by Laughing Soul, so I'm going to put Laughing Soul up next, and that's up on the board, and I'm about to play the SoundCloud now.
The cottage in my heart, a poem by Laughing Soul. Nestled amidst ambrosian calves, breeds a scarlet cottage, where cerulean ripples hum a melodia of my unsung verses. Dovey painted in lavender and blue, embellished with poetic chimes, where floweth a lovesome brook, is often where I spend my time. Often I visit this rustic abode, this cottage, a nook in my heart's wilderness, where blossom pink petunias, where cherubs become my lovelorn emptiness. This cottage where come alive my forsaken dreams is a pilgrim away from my unheard screams. Is a pilgrim away from my unheard screams. And boom.
Wow, she can whisper in my ear anytime. Racketeer. Racketeer, yeah, come in.
We're losing you, Rack. You're breaking up.
Jack's slacking. Right, it happens. Our technology, we have the technology. We just need to fix it.
I don't know if I can fix it.
Oh, there you go. You're clear now.
Hold on. Rack.
Yeah.
Rack, you're actually clear now.
Crack-a-lack. Crack-a-racking. she could tell a story, and like Kata said, her voice doesn't hurt. It was beautiful but dark. There was something to it that just, I don't know, it felt very ominous. There was a sadness to the dream. It felt more of almost bordering on a nightmare.
Melancholy.
Yeah.
And she could read the phone book. Wayne, you like to comment? Well, Wayne, unmute.
Here I am. I'm in back. I think you could complain about the phone. Yeah, I wish I could spend the day just seeing all the love that she sees. I started painting with the flowers, almost like the one she had in the picture there. Except mine don't sparkle when I'm not drinking. Annie's a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. She has open, honest aurora about her, and everything about her I love. She's just a great girl and a great portrait poet.
You know, she's one of these writers, and there's a few of them here with us, among us, that can just reach in and warm your soul, you know, your heart. Just knowing that love exists, having souls one. I can't think of who else, but we've got the other writers who are just the same way. Deb, can I comment?
I thought it was a gorgeous gravity and the tones and stuff in her voice were like a dream state, and they softened everything as she went along, and like in that cottage that comes alive.
Yeah.
My forsaken dreams is a pilgrim away from my unheard screams. And then I was surprised at the unheard screams at the end. So like between nestled amidst Ambrosian Cove down to the unheard scream, it seemed like there was a varied amount of emotion in there. But again, I can't emphasize enough how she had this dream state, like, to her voice.
Yeah, and that picture, the picture that Lavender gave of the heart and the white, you see the white rabbit?
Yeah. It was a great there.
So basically a daydream, a dreaming of the day. I used to have intense dreams of flying. That was pretty cool. Scary. You're on the edge of an adrenaline rush when you're in a dream. They can be real. AP, did you want to comment?
Yeah. I was just going to say some lovely use of words. And she just, when she goes and she speaks of her poem, she sort of sits within those words. It's really quite lovely. So the words just don't sort of go and start. They just sort of roll in and roll through. So she's got a beautiful way of getting the emotion of words through her poem.
And her voice don't hurt, like Rock said. Wayne, did I call on you?
Yeah, we've got everybody.
Got everybody? Okay, cool. Yeah, laughing, so thank you very much.
Hatter? Yeah, I was going to put Musket Man's poem on the board. That's our last SoundCloud, and then I'll just do a quick poem from a little while ago to finish off. So we've only got the two to go. So I'm going to play now the SoundCloud by Musket Man, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Rising at the break of dawn, first thing I see, a doe and fawn. Step from my tent, out with a yawn,
This battlefield is my new front lawn. This field of green stretches afar, see twinkling of the northern star. We'll destroy this field, it's who we are. We've been very good at it so far. Tomorrow, bodies will be strewn about, echoes of a general as he shouts out. This field of dreams will be destroyed, no doubt. Most will die, the atheist and devout. This beautiful field of yellow gold, it's majestic, a sight to behold. There's David, who'll never grow old, a man of stories that'll go untold. A tall oak tree, so stately and serene, gave my first kiss there to Charlene. There'll lie Billy, a tender lad of 17, this oak today. The last day it'll be seen. We move on, make camp, pitch our tent, destroy nature, kill brothers, soothe discontent. Lincoln laughs, he must quell dissent, even if he spends every last cent. This field, just another field on earth. For all living things, this is nature's birth. This field will return, we'll enjoy every birth. But the cost to our brothers, what's it worth?
Gonzo, that was beautifully written. This, you know, I said this before, the next evolution to evolve as writers and poets, it's going to be, instead of reading, reciting, it's going to be a production. It's the next step. That's what these are.
Beautifully written, always. This is... Musket Man was called Iris Morris, and you know, we know from the stuff that we've got from him before that he has particular feel for part of the world and particular sense of the Civil War and its impact. You know, he writes very poignantly about how, you know, that impact continues today.
It was well done. The music in the background.
Yes.
Just made it. And volume on both was great. It was complete. Had our attention from start to finish. Wayne, what do you think, man?
Yeah, he changed his name to Musket Man, but he still has that excellent way of bringing us to the Civil War through such caring eyes.
Yeah.
This is well written. It's a pleasure to hear. He's wonderful when you're writing about the Civil War, and I think it's great.
Yeah, back to it.
Yeah, the music felt period correct for what he was talking about. It felt like it made it feel older. The whole piece was lovely. You know, I feel like he's probably a history teacher or something, based on some of the other stuff that I've heard of his and the attention he seems to have when he talks about, you know, the detail of things from that era. It's just lovely.
Yeah, he definitely understands the Civil War. The Civil War was, God, I couldn't even imagine if you were. If you were shot in the arm or leg, they just cut it off. Brother against brother. It, basically, war, you can forget what you're fighting for, because what you're
if you have your friend or something, you see him shot or die in front of you, your whole mindset has changed. It's Yanks against Rebs, and that was it. It was real. We don't need another Civil War.
When is the world will ever end?
Yeah. Raphael, you want to speak? Oh, you did? Did I call him already?
Yes, you did. David,
I lost my piece
think
of paper here.
Dead.
Yeah,
I think Deb's the only one who hasn't commented.
Okay. Yeah, I think that he did an amazing job with this, bringing the history of the field in to the dream. And I think that the choice of background music was absolutely phenomenal for this particular read. And I found myself singing while he was reading. How great the art. It's a hymn, in case.
Yeah.
You know.
You could easily
pick it up. And there's a specific part up there, like when through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze. It's just perfect for the photo that he put, for the words that he chose, for the background. It's a total package. Really, really like it.
Yeah, that it's almost an ode. Remember, like ode to Billy Joe, Bobby Gentry.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I have to say that How Great Thou Art just chased the You Make My Dreams Come True out of my head. So now I'll have a hymn in my mind for the rest of the night. But hey, it felt good.
You know, he reflects on after things you got to live with, like a tall oak tree so stately and serene gave my first kiss there to Charlene. So there's a memory of before, and then there lie Billy, a tender lad of 17. You know, a real sadness and reality there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Joy south from my heart. So we down to the last one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We're down to the last one?
Yeah.
So I will read this one. It sort of follows on from yesterday's sort of tic-mac-poe header when we did quite a few sort of dreaming style poems. And you, of course, won the show. So we should say congratulations again. Your first tic-mac-poe win, Hatter.
Yes.
So
yes.
We should celebrate that and all of that. So this is a young man dreaming, and it goes a little bit like this. The peewee man ascends the clouds drifting, ocean waters a guiding fork by a beach. The spray shed diamond shadows tingling, warrior standing high, platypus left leaf. On seasons passing to fall of lost leaves, gulls trail high enmeshed in white drifts. The simple guitar chords a tune weaves, called to a curved beach as cello insists. Their flames of a fire seeking outwards, raised and torn and circled inside curled waves. Water sprays dance a rumba forwards, a whale outline unfurls, eyes held crave. Observe an old man guiding one young. Passes by river gums, swaying and stand. Diamonds we hear fish scales among, as a voice consumes. Dreamers in bands, in pong.
You know, you remember when, if, I don't know if it's a MERS Got Talent or something, where these guys would come out and they would have the light shows. They would actually be part of the light show. I can't even remember the name. There was a couple of them. One of them was a guy and a girl, and they combined water, waves and spray, mist and stuff with dance, and then the light show behind them. the computerized. These flames of fire seeking outwards raised until sun circled inside curled waves, water sprays dance. That's what it reminded me of. Well done.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Kier.
I thought the ending was a stunning AP. I had part of it in my head, and I was searching for the other part, and in searching for the other part, I lost the first part. So now I'm totally partless. But it did you know, strike a chord. I mean, there was a flow and a beauty to it that was definitely dreamlike and lovely.
What's the feeling, man?
Yeah, thank you.
The feel of an old man. How you described watching him. Watching a young man eat, or watching an old man, but you turned it around, and then you know, without doing a palindrome even, and you still managed to turn it around. and you did it again with the metaphor afterwards too. You know, that's a death skill, and it's a subtle thing that you don't necessarily notice. In the context of the overall thing that adds to the layers of where your mind tends to go, it's almost like a gentle hand at the small of your back leading you along. You know, it's really, really clever stuff. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's really, really tight. The metaphors are real tight. If you can use metaphors and they can introduce the next one, or give you the feeling that you're sort of playing for the next one. Sometimes that's a beautiful thing. Wayne, you got to comment?
He had to go.
Oh, he had to go. Okay. Deb, last comment and wrap it up.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, I think that this came out beautiful. I remember this one. I have one of my lists. I like the descriptions that were through here. Ocean water is a guiding fork via a beach. On seasons passing to fall, lost leaves, gulf trails high. I think that the scenery from the seasons is beautiful through here. And there were there flames of a fire seeking outwards raised until encircled inside curled waves. I think Jack and Tormar said it already, but you always have such a graceful flow to the work.
Yeah.
And this is no exception. And I like to close the final. I like the final line, as his voice consumes dreamers and fans. Great share.
Yeah. AAP.
Thanks, Tip.
AP, you've been to the Northern Hemisphere and you live in the South, Southern.
Yes.
What's the difference in the sky? Where I am, the moon can actually be huge sometimes.
We don't get the moon being as big. We have a different set of stars that we can see. I think you sort of get used to the different stars. The great thing about Australia is I can get, 8 kilometres out of town and I can see the whole sky with galaxies and the Milky Way and everything else. And so in the US, we've got a really fine place to do that,
Whole different set of constellations, and see the Southern Cross.
Absolutely.
I think I'll find that interesting. I'm a night gazer. I've stared at the sky many times. I've watched the Milky Way circle across the sky. And
sky.
I'm on the other side of the world. Cool. Well, I want to thank everybody for writing to the show or calling. Wayne, thank you. Rapporteur, thank you. We got Musket Man, Gonzo, that was absolutely wonderful. Laughing Soul. Who am I missing? Musket Man, I said.
Steven?
Thank you, AP. Oh, yeah. Steven also.
Gonzo.
And we had Pretty Bird.
Thank you.
SoundCloud.
Too. Oh, yeah. Pretty
and Laughing Soul.
Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird, Laughing Soul. I forgot Pretty Bird. Yeah, thank you all for taking the time to write for Dreams. It's White Night next week. White Night, whatever comes to you. thank you, AP. It's always a pleasure on Saturday night. Deborah, thank you so much. And can we play a song and head out? Can we play Alice?
We
her
can.
Her name was Alice.
We can play Alice. Yeah.
A shine down.
We can do that.
Cool.
Just looking for it as we roll on. But thank you, Hatter, and we'll see what White Night. So is it the Alice intro song, Deb?
It should say Shine Down.
Oh, should it?
No, I think that's the same one. It should say it's the Alice intro.
Shine Down.
Her name is Down. Shinedown is the group. It's from
the group.
Florida.
Okay.
Formed in 2001.
Nice and white Shinedown. Okay, right to go.
Yeah. Her name was Alice.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, bye everybody. We'll see you next week for White Nights.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. Chased the rabbit, drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stay.
name was Alice. That's Shinedown. If you go to YouTube and put Shinedown Alice, and it'll pop up. They have the song with a bunch of snippets from the movie. It's entertaining. Thank you, Deborah. The ice cream man doesn't even come down my street anymore.
Love and respect, you guys.
Bye, Hatta. See you, everybody. Bye, everybody.